Great. So this month, as you guys are aware, the theme is the church. Very encouraging theme. We've already had two powerhouse sermons, and I'm going to try and do justice with the small thoughts that I have. But it is an opportunity, as we talk about the church, to reflect what our actions are and what our beliefs are. And as we announced last week, Mark and Melissa, Uncle Mark and Melissa, got married. And as I was preparing for them, I came across Ephesians 5:25, which is commonly used about husbands loving their wives. I was thinking, what am I going to preach about today? And I just couldn't get off this verse. I've been thinking about it for a while. So today I want to talk about this intimate relationship that the Bible uses that is about the way that Christ sees us, the way that God sees us. That he sees us, the church, us, all of us as the church, as his bride. And it's used to describe the love that God has for us and the purpose he has for us. You know, like my uncle Mark and Melissa got married and Kate and I got married in 2014. 2014, thank you. I can tell you the date. I wrote it down. I checked. I had to check Facebook. 21st of June, babe. I got it. Is that right? Yeah. Cool. I actually went through the photos and found like the order of service and just zoomed in on that, double checked. It's there. I'm sure it's in my calendar. But I was reflecting on this choice of love, right? Because when we get married, especially early on, you might feel really excited and you get those butterflies and you spend that time with that special person and it's great. But since 2014, there's been some rocky roads and there's been some hard times. And there's been times where even though I was not the kindest, not the wisest, not the gentlest, Kate still chose to love me. And I just think of the way that our sin separates us from God, but Christ still chooses to love us. I'm going to read this verse in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. It says this: "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless." I have a perspective on this that maybe 50% of the room would agree with. I'm a man. We all agree. I'm a man. Thank you. If I read that and say that we, the church, are Christ's bride, and you immediately get a little bit uncomfortable with that, don't switch off, don't start ignoring me. And I think this is why it got stuck with me, because I immediately resist this verse. But God uses it because of this imagery of the choice of love. And God talks about us being a holy, radiant, blameless church. And it's a future hope. Just like we hope for the future that our relationships don't fail. But it is also a present, this day, still working, active purification. I can think of church, and I think of why I resist this as a man, and I think of all the things that we do at church that sometimes don't feel very manly. And I thought to myself, maybe, what are the things that men typically don't enjoy at church? And something I immediately thought of is singing. Again, not all people. We know that some of the most manly men were up here singing today. Big, strong, powerful, endurance men, right? But as we were worshiping this morning, actually, I felt God leading me to the story of King Jehoshaphat in Judah. It's in 2 Chronicles, right? I remember years ago I talked on this, but it says that they selected the worship leaders to go out and to sing God's praises in front of the army of Judah. And if that is not the most gutsy, manly thing I've ever heard, for you to walk out and to fight and to into a battle with a trumpet, with a stringed instrument, I don't know what is. And I think that, to me, it's like we here as this church have these manly men leading us. We have Reese leading us. We have Pastor Craig here leading us. And I just want to really emphasize that, right? Like God, even though we are the bride of Christ, God is still using us in the identity of who we are for his glory and his purposes. I want to read another verse, a couple of verses. It's Psalms 103. I was really worried when Kate started reading from Psalm. But Psalm 103, I'm going to read 2 to 4, and I'm going to read 8 to 12. So Psalm says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion?" Then in verse 8 it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." And this is used quite often. I like this. "So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." This song of praise and psalms highlights that God has, always did, and always will be a loving God that wants to reconcile, to forgive his people. The Psalms written before Christ says, "Who forgives? God forgives." The God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it means that we can trust him, right? And when we read that Psalms, we can quickly see, I think of verses 9, he does not accuse, he does not harbor his anger. I think of my relationship, and this is what we need to love each other. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, even though we may forget to turn the washing machine on and we load it and we didn't push start, whatever. He doesn't hold that against us. There's this picture, this metaphor of Christ's love for us, God's love for us. And I'm reminded that we are a wanted people, a desired people. We have a protected relationship. I was thinking about things that upset me and, you know, this justified anger. And there's only one thing that really gets me really upset. If you want to see me grumpy, this is it. Upset Kate. When she's upset, you will see a grumpy side of me that's a little bit irrational. And I just think of God and the way that he looks at us, right? And I just think of this protection that Christ has for us, the jealousy that he has for us. If I feel that in a small way to my wife, how does Christ see the church, his bride? He is a jealous, he is a kind and loving God, and he will fight for us and does fight for us. It says in Ephesians that we read that Christ's goal is for the church is that we would be without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. I think, man, that doesn't sound like it's describing me and my relationship, right? So the question is, how do we, Infinity Church, the church, the people in this room, how do we become worthy to be the bride of Christ? And like I said, I get grumpy. If you're upset, Kate, I'm grumpy. I'm not worthy of that. And I need God's grace. And that's it. It's grace. Begins with grace. It is the foundation of God's love with us. And it begins with the blood of Christ that cleanses us of our sins and makes us pure. In Psalms 103, verse 12, it says, "No matter how stained or sinful we feel, that God's love and his mercy is greater." And I'm reminded that verse, "As far as the east is from the west, that is how far our sins are separated from us." And it's hard to accept, isn't it? Instead of perfect or ready, I'm reminded of our shortcomings. And I know that I'm often brutally short of what we need to be. Sometimes you might be sitting there and you feel, yeah, but you don't know what's in my head. You don't know how I feel. You don't know what I have done. You don't know where I have been. But Christ makes us whole. His grace sets us apart, blameless, worthy to be his bride. That Jesus provides a way to be cleansed. What it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we decided to follow him, before we decided we wanted to have something better, before we were even aware that we needed God, Christ died for us. And I thank God for that, because I know I'd still be waiting, right? He'd still be waiting for me if I had to be good enough. And that's true of everything we do here at church, right? If you think you have to be good enough to do announcements like Laz, I tell you what, it doesn't matter. Christ has called you now, and he will make you who you need to be to do his will. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us of all sins." Is that DC talk? As I just said that, I want to be in the light as he is in the light, shine like the stars in heaven. Anyway, if you didn't grow up in the 80s, you probably don't know it, 90s. Psalms 103:8 says, he does not treat us, I've already said this, he does not repay our sins as we deserve it. It's a relational imitation. That God is not waiting to condemn. God is not that God that sits on the throne and throws lightning bolts at us. No, but he is a God of forgiveness and restoration. God's grace is not just a little bit of cleansing, right? It's not something that you just sort of get sprinkled with water. The day you get baptized, it's not just a small act, but it's actually a complete transformation. It's a purification. It's a radical forgiveness. It's a new, fresh start. The old is gone, the new will come. And again, I want to say, it doesn't matter how dark your past is. It doesn't matter how dark you are right now. Christ's sacrifice and his commitment to make us spotless before God is ready and waiting. And I know that God is calling all of us individually now to be with him. I'm comforted by Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." That moment when you felt Christ, that moment when you felt the call of the Holy Spirit on your life, was that beginning of that good work. And even now, maybe years later, it's easy to forget that feeling that you had, that first love, that first relationship when Christ first called you. But be assured, you are not forgotten. Be assured that Christ hasn't finished, but he is still working in you, and he will carry on until he has made you whole, made you complete. That first part of Psalms, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives our sins, he heals our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion." So even when faced with our humanity, even when faced with our own shortcomings, you know, when we feel like we want to reject God and live our own way, be reminded that God is working in us to remove the impurities, to make us radiant, to make us holy, to set us apart as his bride. God forgives our sins, and he puts a crown of love and compassion on our lives. So living as the bride of Christ means a daily embrace of his grace. It means pursuing holiness, not out of obligation, but out of love and gratitude. And the more we dig this up, the more it examples that we are the bride of Christ. This relationship of marriage and intimacy and commitment to each other is what Christ did for us. So how do we do that? What does it look like in your life today? Just a few practical, Just a few practical steps. Don't believe the lie that you are beyond hope. I have friends that I talk to that are just like, "You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. I'm so far from God, he can't forgive our sins." If that resonates with you and you feel like that, don't believe it. Don't forget that Psalms 103 says that he forgives all of your sins. Not just the ones you've asked for, all of your sins. We need to receive his grace every day. We need to pursue holiness. We're urged to live a life that reflects our future. One of kindness and love, one of beauty, without blemish, without wrinkle, as we look forward to the day of Christ's second coming. That's an active choice to do that. We need to cultivate a relationship with Jesus. And I feel like maybe this sounds pretty simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded. Just as I long to be in a relationship with my wife, and just as we long to support each other and love each other, we need to do the same with Christ. And that means speaking to him. It means listening to him when you do speak to him, giving him room to respond. It means praying. It means worshiping. It means studying the word. This is how we pursue a relationship. To know him is to talk to him. And be patient with yourself. Trust God that he will shape you. Trust God that he will change your minds and your thoughts. You know, when you have those thoughts in your mind that you've tried to forget, or it was from your old past, take it captive, pray over it, give it to God, and trust him that he is sanctifying you and he is making you whole again. And finally, why don't we extend that grace that God gave to us to others? Remember that God's love for us is unconditional, and that we are to love others with patience and mercy. Even though it might feel strange, we are pursuing Christ just as a bride would pursue a husband. Getting ourselves ready to walk down that aisle, getting ourselves ready to be in this intimate relationship with him. So if you're feeling broken today, if you're feeling far from God, remember that his invitation is open. That he is still calling you and still seeks you, wants you, loves you, desires you. When you're carrying guilt and shame, be reminded of the promise that we are cleansed and that our sin is separated as far as the east to the west. I often think about that and think, surely they come back together, but that's not how it works. The good news today for us is that the church isn't just us as individual believers, but it is a community. And we are members that can unite together in one purpose, in love and in desire and in a common goal to be ready for Christ. That we should support each other, that we should live in unity, that we should share our love that Christ gives to us with others in the world. And that's, we heard that this morning. That is the passion, that is the statement of Infinity Church, to introduce Melbourne to Jesus. And that we should do that together, that we are united together. We are encouraged to stand with each other, to support each other. Living as God's people, picking our brothers and sisters up when they're stumbling down. Witnessing the power of Christ in our lives. How good is it to say, and we have had this a couple of times from this platform even, prayers answered. What a powerful way to proclaim Christ in our community. And if we didn't meet together and if we didn't share those things, if we didn't declare the goodness of God in our lives and what he's done for us, it's a wasted opportunity. We should share prayer and praise, which we've done this morning, but we can continue doing as we meet together to declare the goodness of God. We are rooted in his love. He has already washed us and cleansed us. And our prayers for Infinity Church is that we would be united, that we would be washed and covered in this love as for the one goal, for the one purpose of being ready for Christ's return. It is a metaphor of love that we are his bride, brought with a price. It's not just a metaphor, though. It is our defining identity, that we are loved graciously, we are purified completely, and we are destined for eternal joy. And this is who we are. And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. This is who we are, destined for eternal joy. Not happiness, joy. Kate said that this morning. We are destined for eternal joy. So wherever you find yourself, right? Stained, feeling broken, unworthy, far from God. Jesus' invitation is open. His love is greater than any mistake you've made. His mercy is endless. And you are invited to come and to be cleansed. You are invited to be his bride, perfect, spotless, blameless. We live with hope, we love with purpose, and we wait for anticipation for his second coming. And this is more than just an idea that we have, like I said. It is the core of who we are. It is powerful. It is strong. Why don't you open yourself to that? I'm going to close in prayer, and I just ask, if you've resonated with this idea that you aren't ready for Christ, after I finish praying, after the service finishes, would you come forwards? I mean, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to help you in any way you can. And just as I said, we are the church, multiple people, and we will stand with you. We will protect you. We will encourage you. We will pray with you, and we will pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for choosing to love us. Lord, even though we were far from you, you made a way for us to come. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, cleansing us from our sins and preparing us for when you come again. Lord, help us to reflect that love in our lives. Lord, let us show the world your pure, holy love. Lord, fill us with hope for your return and make us a community united together and help us to extend that to others. God, we trust you. God, we put our faith in you. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through our words and actions, for you are worthy to be praised. Amen.